Are you awake? Are you alive? Are you saved? Amen. Thank the Lord for that. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. John 14, 15 through 21. Amen. I hope you have your Bibles and will follow along. If not, then just... Do we have the scriptures, Josh, to put up this morning? John 14 and verse 15. Let's read. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 21, here's the key verse that we're reading this morning. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this day, for these that have come out to this service today. I know, Lord, there are many distractions, and there are a lot of things, Lord, going on in people's lives, sickness and the loss of loved ones, and just a lot of things, Lord, that have our attention. But, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you will speak to us today those things that you, Lord, would will be spoken among us in this place today. We ask for your blessing and anointing upon your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse I want to give attention to today is verse 21 in particular. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Here's the question this morning. It's really simple. Do you really love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Jesus. That's probably one of the first little choruses I learned as a child. I didn't know till I was a lot older that the song, Oh, How I Love Jesus, was a hymn in the hymn book. I didn't realize there were several verses to that song, because as a child, we just sang, Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. That was simple, but it was powerful. Amen. It was powerful, and it is powerful as an expression of the fact that we love the Lord. But I think we all realize that it's real easy to say, I love the Lord. And I think there's a real confusion that is going on among a lot of people, and some even in the churches today, where there's this expression of, I'm a follower of Jesus. I love Jesus. People are expressing that. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But at the same time, their actions, their deeds, their lifestyle, nothing is really evidenced in their life that they truly do love the Lord. We know that words are powerful and important, but sometimes if they're used without real thought, then they don't really mean that much. Amen. I mean, this is Valentine's week, and I say that I think, you know, expressing love is a good thing to do with words and with gifts and a lot of different things that you may want to do this week on Valentine's, and that's a good thing and a wonderful thing. But if you're not careful, even words can be empty if they are not backed up with action and reality. I remember Some years ago, I called a friend of mine, Jim Laudell, a preacher friend of mine. I called him, and he wasn't at home, and so his wife answered, and Gwen, and we, of course, we've known them for since Bible school days, and we talked just a few minutes, and she let me know he wasn't there, and I'd have to call back another time. I don't remember. The conversation was probably 2 or 3 minutes long, and when we hung up, I said goodbye, and she said, "Love you." And I've used that many times against her because she was totally humiliated because as soon as she hung up the phone, she realized that she had told someone besides her husband or her family that she loved him. You can get in a habit. I'm not saying it's a bad habit. Just be careful that you really do mean it. Amen. Be careful that it's real. And in this verse that I read for you, that is our text this morning, verse 21. I think that you can see a couple of things that ought to be evidenced in our lives if we really do love Jesus. Amen. Why, we can say it all day long, every day, but really we have to make sure that we live out that expression, that it's not just the words that are spoken, but it's a reality in our life. We really do love the Lord. We really do love Jesus. And in this verse of Scripture, it gives us a couple of evidences. Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." The person who loves the Lord has the commandments and obeys the commandments of the Lord. That's what the Bible says, that we obey Christ's commands as an evidence of the fact that we love the Lord. Now, the Scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. When you love the Lord, the commandments of God are not a burden to you. It's not something that's grievous to you. The commandments of the Lord, they're just something that you recognize that this is another opportunity, another way that I'm able to express my love to the Lord by my obedience to His Word, my obedience to the commandments of the Lord. It says they are not grievous, or the word means heavy. It's not just a heaviness. It's not just a burden. His commandments are not unreasonable. His commandments are good, and they're good for you, and they're for the glory of God. They're not just a duty. They're not just something that is beyond your ability. Whenever God speaks and He gives His commandments to His people, then they are for our blessing. They are for our good. They're not a burden on us, but we are able to express our love for the Lord by our willingness, our submissive spirit that wants to say yes to the Lord and do what He asks us to do. Amen. Not only that, 1 John 4 and 21 talks about the commandments of the Lord. It says, "This commandment have we from Him, that he who loves God, he who loveth God, will love his brother also." And so there's this overflow of our love for God, that we want His commandments, we want to obey His commandments, and that in so doing, we show our love for God, and we even show our love for our brethren, because we consider them, and we honor them, and we want to be a good example to them, because we truly love Jesus. And so I hope that we won't oversimplify it or just say that without really, really thinking, and just sometimes even in our prayers, "Lord, we love you. Jesus, we love you," as an expression that's empty. It has no reality. There's no real basis for the experience that you have with God, because you're just saying it. It's just empty words. But if it's a reality, then from this text that I'm reading to you this morning, if you really love the Lord, you're going to love His commandments, and you're going to love to obey them. Amen. Amen. 1 John 4:17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." What an amazing verse, that we love the Lord, and we love His commandments, and because we know that one of these days we're going to stand before God in judgment. We love His commandments because they prepare us for the day when we're going to stand in judgment before God. And oh, what an expression of love that God has given to us, that he has shown us the way to heaven and has shown us the pathway that we are to follow. Worship is a big subject today. The church world, there's so many things that people are doing under the guise of worship today that it's mind-boggling. Unbelievable things that are going on in churches and going on platforms, and where they call them stages now in their churches. But many of the things that are going on in churches today under the title of worship. But really, if you measure it by the things that we're talking about here today, if it's real worship, it's going to be an expression of our love for God. And it is always going to reveal the fact that we have a hunger for the truth and a willingness to obey the Lord. Amen. In all that we do, that's really real worship. I dare to say that in some churches across this country today, that if you stopped and in the middle of their so-called worship time and began to deal with the truth of the Scripture as it relates to their life and their lifestyle, there's a lot of people that would not want to hear that. They would want to hear that and say, oh, we just want to worship Jesus. We just want to worship him. We just want to lift up our hands and sing songs of praise to the Lord. But that is not biblical worship. Real worship is an expression of your commitment to the Lord, your commitment to truth, and your willingness to submit in obedience to God. Do you really love Jesus? Do you really love him? Well, it will be expressed, according to this verse of Scripture, it will be expressed in your love for the Word of God and your desire to please the Lord, whatever he asks you to do. Amen. And then a second part of this verse, which is another part of this topic here this morning. Do you really love Jesus? The last part of verse 21, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And I will manifest myself to him. Do you really love the Lord? If you obey his commandments, then you will allow God to begin to manifest himself in your life. In every possible way. The word there just means to shine forth. It just means by our lives that we radiate Jesus Christ. Have you ever been around people like that? Where you didn't even hardly have to even ask if they were a Christian, or there was no doubt that they were a Christian, because when you got around them, there was just this spirit about them. It was obvious that they were totally yielded to God and that they were a man or a woman of God. Now that's what we should be aspiring to be. Amen. That the presence of God would be upon us and in us to such a degree that the world will realize it. They will sense the presence of God in our life. I think a lot of times we'll pray and say, Lord, would you just send your presence into our service? And I don't think that's always a bad prayer to pray. We want the Lord to manifest himself, but primarily under the new covenant, I know that the glory of the Lord came in like a cloud and like a such a heavy cloud of smoke that those ministering in Solomon's temple, they were not able to minister because of the glory of the Lord. I understand there are many Old Testament examples of the glory of the Lord being like a smoke or a cloud and the presence of the Lord. But under the New Testament and the New Covenant, it's different, because the Bible says that you and I, we are the temple of God now. That doesn't mean we can't sense his presence in this place, but primarily the way that God manifests himself among us is in each of our lives. That's the way that he does it, not just in buildings. We know that even all of the heavens can't really contain everything about the glory of the Lord, but he has chosen to manifest himself in you and me. Amen. How privileged that we are. How blessed it is we are to be able to be the person, a person chosen of the Lord, a child of God, and he's calling us to show forth the glory of God everywhere that we go and everything that we do. Amen. Amen. And so I guess maybe the more appropriate prayer than to say, Lord, send your presence into our service, is to say, Lord, send your presence into my life as I go into that service. And then I unite with other believers who have the same desire. And then there is the manifest glory and the presence of God, because we have literally brought it with us. Amen. We have brought him with us into the house of the Lord. Quite the contrary can also happen. If your life has got you down and you're defeated and you're not walking with the Lord, you have no victory in your life, then that's the spirit you also bring with you to church. Amen. If it's discouragement and hopelessness and if the situation that you are in, your sickness or whatever circumstance that you're in, that spirit also is realized in a church service. Amen. Lord, help us all. From the pulpit to the pew to the singers and the musicians and everybody in the service, that we would come in not only just with talent and ability, but that we would come in submitted to the Lord, inviting the Lord, making yourself totally yielded to him, so that his presence would be manifest in your life. The scripture says that's one of the ways that the love of God is manifest. It's realized by the world, is because they can sense that you are with the Lord. You have been with the Lord. You're in his presence and you are totally yielded to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to manifest his presence through the lives of believers, the church. And for that reason, you can be in the church, or you can be on your job or wherever you are, and the world is going to know there's something different about that man. That lady is different. They have a special quality about them. I don't know what it is, but I just know there's something different about them. The world can't comprehend it, but they know it's there. They know it's a reality because Jesus dwells in you and it's manifest in the world. Amen. By everything that you do, your lifestyle, your speech and everything that you do, all of the things that you do is an expression of the fact that you have been totally yielded to God. If you really love the Lord, then you're going to let him have control of your life. If you really love the Lord, you're going to put yourself in a place where God can come and dwell in you. Amen. And that's going to become a reality to the world that is around us. Amen. No, folks, we need the presence of God. We need the presence of God. We do not need just to, the formality of coming to church and going through the routine. We just need God's presence among us. We need the Lord to be speaking. When the teachers are teaching, it needs to be God's voice. The preacher is preaching, it needs to be a word from God, not just a sermon. Our songs need to be more than just music. It needs to be something that is an expression of our love for God. And through our lives, the presence of God is realized. Amen. Glory to God. Do you know that whenever, there's several things that take place whenever the presence of God is real and evident. Amen. A lot of things will happen. One thing will happen is conviction. Deep conviction comes whenever God by his Holy Spirit is present. Amen. Conviction is there. I've been in services where people, they got up from their seat and they literally ran to the altar. Talk about a glorious thing. When they can't wait any longer, they just realize, I need the Lord, and there is such an abiding presence of the Lord. And that presence of God caused them to run to God. And it will do just that. And your only other option is to run away from God. Amen. And to avoid this convicting presence of God. I was 15 years old and had gotten saved when I was a little younger, but I was not at all where I needed to be with the Lord. And there was a revival in our home church. God was moving, and a lot of young people were dedicating their lives to the Lord. A lot of were being filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was a great revival. It lasted several weeks, but I remember my own. The first thing that I did, whenever the convicting power of the presence of God got so real, I at first didn't yield. Instead, when I had my first opportunity, I took off out the back door. We lived a block and a half, city block and a half, away from the church. And I got home as fast as I could. And I went to my room. My dad, of course, wasn't a Christian. He was probably sitting there watching TV, wondering, what in the world are you doing here? And nobody else, none of the rest of the family's here. But I just went right straight in and went right to my room. And I was so miserable. I was so under conviction that in my little bedroom, I literally walked the floor. And was so miserable that I was there for a while, and I thought, well, service is probably over. But if it's not, I think I'm going to go back to church and see if anybody else is there. Well, hardly anybody had left, because there were people praying in the altars. People had divided up, and they were in Sunday school rooms throughout the church, seeking the Lord and praying. And I went back to that service. And a couple of men went with me back to a back room, and there I got rid of a lot of things out of my life and yielded some things that I wasn't willing to yield to the Lord. And the result of that really work of sanctification that took place there in that revival service in my life, as I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in that service, it was the work of the presence of God. I couldn't get away from it. I thought I could leave the building and go home and get away from it, but the presence of the Lord was with me even at my house. And God was talking to me and dealing with me, and I had to respond to that, and that was a life-changing day for me. So the Lord set a new direction for my life. Thank God for the convicting work of the presence of God. Amen. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, and that's what I ask the Lord. Lord, send in to the congregation, the First Pentecostal Church, people so filled up with the Spirit, so full of the presence of God, that when people are in need and when sinners come to the service, they'll recognize that they need God in their life. Amen. If you really love the Lord, then there is going to be this desire for the manifest presence of God in your life. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord, the reality that the Lord is with you. And all through the scripture, you see examples. When people came into contact with the presence of the Lord, they couldn't do anything about it. They were literally overcome by it. In Isaiah chapter 6, you remember the account there when the prophet of God had that amazing vision there in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 5. He saw himself, woe is me, I am undone. That was his expression, that was his reaction to the presence of God. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The presence of God changed that prophet and sent him with a mission and with a message to a nation that needed to hear a word from the Lord. Anyone who's ever come in contact with the presence of the Lord, they're never the same again. Never the same again. That's why we desperately need God moving in our own individual lives. Instead of saying, well, I just wish we could feel the presence of the Lord in our service. Why don't you determine, instead of saying that, why don't you say, Lord, I want to feel the presence of the Lord in my own personal life. Fill me up, Lord. I'm the one. I'm the problem. I'm the reason that there's no real expression of the presence of God and the reality of His power in our lives. Don't look to someone around you and others in the church, but realize that God fills vessels. He touches vessels, people like you and me, with His Holy Spirit. Amen. And then there's an effect felt upon the lives of people. Amen. When the presence of God is there, not only is there conviction of sin, but there's also victory over sin. Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 97 and verse 5. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, all the whole earth. Everywhere in the scripture, whenever mountains and hills are described, it always depicts something very, very large, like a stronghold, something mighty and strong. And the psalmist is saying, it's your presence. At your presence, the hills and the mountains are just going to melt at your presence. They're going to flow down. These big things in my life, these great obstacles in my life. Maybe you're dealing with some stronghold of the enemy in your life and you don't know what to do about the situation that you're in or the stronghold of the enemy in your life. It's only the presence of God that can deal with that. His mighty presence can cause these strongholds, these hills to flow down at the presence of God. Amen. Victory will come whenever we come to the Lord and we invite Him by His Holy Spirit to come and to take charge of our life. Amen. Not only will there be victory over sin, conviction of sin, but there will also be this wonderful spirit whereby we are willing to do what God has asked us to do. This spirit of holiness, this desire that says, Lord, not my will, your will. I want to do what you're asking me to do. I want to be willing, Lord, to do whatever you ask me to do. Now, whenever the Lord leads you down a pathway, convicting you and dealing with you about areas of your life, let me just remind you that his commandments are not grievous. And if God is dealing with you about certain areas of your life where you need to make renewed commitments, or you need to separate yourself from some things, or maybe even from some people. If the Lord is dealing with you about this, the enemy is going to say, if you go that direction, then you're going to be all alone. You're not going to have any friends. You're not going to have anyone around you to support you or to encourage you in the direction that you're taking. That's not the truth. That's just the lie of the enemy. There are always going to be those saints of God that God is going to raise up to bless you and to encourage you in the pathway that you're going. But the most important thing is that you are going to have the peace of God in your heart. Amen. And when you're following the Lord and going the way that the Lord would have you to go, it may seem like the most difficult decision of your life, but God will bless you and honor you as you make that move and you begin to follow that direction. I remember as a young person how hard it was. I remember the day that my friends were pulled up in the front yard in their car. There were two of them sitting on the hood of the car. And they were talking to me about the fact that I was talking about going to Bible school. And they were trying to talk me out of it. What are you going to do? What's that going to be? How's that going to provide for you in any way? What good is that going to be in your life? And I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything except just knowing in my heart this was the will of God. And I didn't have my best friends were saying, don't do it. Others around me discouraging me. I didn't have any money to go to Bible school. I had to sell my most prized possession. Stephen, my red pearl Ludwigs. And he knows what I'm talking about. Anyone's ever played drums, they know what pearl Ludwigs are. And I sold them to go to Bible school. And oh, agonizing over it. I remember when I got there to school, I thought, you know, dorm rooms and lots of nice things. And no, my room was a room at a building that they had acquired for $1 because it needed to be tore down. And Brother Branham had gotten a hold of this old motel that really had been condemned to be torn down, and they had just fixed enough to where it was just barely safe enough for us to live in. And when I got there thinking, I'm going to get to move into a dorm, and I moved into that old ratty motel. And I remember the first few days sitting in that room thinking, Lord, what am I doing here? What am I doing in this place? How can this be right? I didn't understand. Then all I had was the peace of God, knowing I was moving in the right direction. Little did I know the significance of that decision and how that God was taking me in a direction that was going to affect all of my life and all of my future and ministry, and everything was going to be affected by just those few decisions. Let me tell you, if you're in a time of decision right now and you're trying to determine your life and your future, you need the presence of God. You need the law of the Lord. You need to know God's will, and you need to have the certainty of it in your heart. Amen. Glory to God. Doing the will of God. Going the direction that God would have you to go, to walk in obedience to His will. You see, one of the things that the presence of God will do is it turns the light on. The presence of God turns a bright light on, and you see things that you never have seen before. Amen. John 3, verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Amen. You run to the light. You run to the truth. You're anxious to do what the Lord is calling you to do. You're willing to do it. And your heart is to follow God and to do His will because you belong to Him. Amen. If you've never gotten to that place where you have said, "Lord, I'm yours. Everything I am, everything I've got, all my life and my future, I give it all up, Lord, because I want your will and purpose to be done in my life." That's holiness living. Amen. When you get to that place, then you are walking in a way, in the way of holiness and following in obedience to the Lord. What happens as a result of that wonderful work of the Spirit of God in your life? Well, never get to have any fun anymore. You're all down and out, just discouraging. Everything is black and white. Nothing is, there's no pleasure in life. You've given up all the joys and all the pleasures because they're all worldly. And so your life is just drab and unhappy. Just another lie of the enemy. Another deceptive lie of the enemy. If you love the Lord and you've given yourself to Him completely, then the Lord is going to give you a joy. He is going to give you a gladness the world doesn't know about. They can't comprehend it. They don't understand it. Their joy and their gladness is short-lived. When the party's over, then they have to suffer the consequences. When they have their good time, then the next day, they still have to suffer the consequences. They're back to the reality of their life without hope. But because you're serving the Lord and you truly love the Lord, then your life is a life that when you wake up the next morning, you wake up with the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And you have it throughout the day. And you have it in the evening. And you have it when you go to bed at night because you've committed your life and your future to the Lord. If you really love the Lord, you're going to have joy and gladness and the blessing of the Lord upon your life. A great psalm is Psalm 16. "I've set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Amen. Not only the abundant life that we're going to have in this world, but pleasures forevermore. We have a hope and a promise of eternal joy and gladness because we are serving the Lord. Amen. Do you really love Jesus? Do you love Him? Are you willing to allow His presence to be manifested in your life, for God to work in you, to use you, to deal with you, and to work in your life to such a degree that you have made yourself His completely and entirely? Amen. Amen. "Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth." Amen. What's missing in the church today? What's missing at First Pentecostal Church today? Not enough joy. Not enough rejoicing. Amen. Not enough real praise. Not enough lifting up our voice. Not enough expression of our love to the Lord. We need to rejoice in the fact that we have the presence of God. Amen. That He dwells within us. Amen. And we can enjoy His glory and His power. I will love Him and will manifest myself to Him. That's the promise of God. That He's going to shine through your life. And the world is going to see you. One of the things that bewilders the world is when they see you with hope and joy. When the whole world is going down the tubes, you still have joy. Amen. You still can rejoice. Amen. On the cloudy days and when it's raining and when it's miserable outside, you still have this abiding presence of God in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've got the joy of the Lord. Amen. And you can rejoice in the presence of God because you're following in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and His presence is being manifest in your life and through your life. Praise God. All of this is an expression of your love for Jesus, your love for the Lord, allowing Him to come and take complete control of your life and then manifest His glory through you to a world that's in need. Let's stand, everybody. Let's stand together. And could we just take a few minutes here this morning? You know, we say this around Thanksgiving time, but it's so true. If you'll think, you'll thank. If you'll think about it, give a little consideration to all the ways that God blesses you, all the wonderful ways that God has touched your life. If you'll just consider that, it'll just well up inside of you, this joy and this thanksgiving and this praise unto the Lord. It won't be something manufactured. It'll be the reality of the fact that you love the Lord. He's done so much for you in your life. And He's dwelling with you. His presence is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I already said, there ought to be a whole lot more joy and a whole lot more praise and a whole lot more expression of that in our lives and even in our church services. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's just take a few moments here just to lift up our voices and lift up our hands and give thanks unto the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Let's take a few moments just to praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, You have brought us through so many things. Oh, we thank You that You have been faithful down through the years. And Lord, You're with us today. You know, Lord, every person and every detail of our lives. And Lord, we thank You that You're with us. Oh, that Your presence is with us. Hallelujah. Thank You for the day that we heard the gospel. Thankful for the day, Lord, that we were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord, for Your direction, directing our step, leading us down through the years. Oh, we're grateful, God, for Your hand of mercy, for Your forgiveness, Lord. Lord, for the way that You deal with us on a daily basis. Oh, we are grateful to You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You.